commit to build a community. That is the quickest way to grow.
It does take time, but if you're not feeling that love, like maybe the blogging thing isn't.
We need to get traffic. We need to get a lot of traffic.
You wake up and you're not getting as many downloads as you want. Or
selling your
readers' attention,
you're going to make a fraction of the amount of money that you make.
It's $100,000 a month. For me, like it worked because I just kind of outlasted.
Take the risk of putting yourself out there and be unique and be unique.
The fact that this is not a blog, this is a business.
I'm Desiree Ojic.
What's up? What's up? Nick Loper.
I'm Tanya from Our Next Life.
Nick True.
I'm Jessica Moraz.
I'm Monica Louis.
I'm JD Rock. And you're listening
you
to.
You are listening
and
to.
And you're listening to the Do You Even Blog podcast.
Hello, Do You Even Tribe. Pete McPherson here. Thank you for listening to the podcast. As usual. Starting off on a high note here. Today's wonderful podcast guest, Kayla Sloan from KaylaSloan.com, 10KVA, all spelled out, .com is the name of her course. We are here to talk about a few things. One, her backstory, blogging, transitioning from the full-time job to the self-employed, freelance, contract work, virtual assisting blogging, how she managed that transition, what she did to ramp up her revenues very, very quickly so she could, you know, sustain and support herself as a self-employed person. I think that is extremely important and obviously something that many of you are interested in. So that story is incredible. And aside from that, we also talk a lot about VAs, virtual assistants, in two ways, actually. Becoming one, as in those of you who would like to do this as a side hustle, you think you'd be good at it, or even do it as a career. We talk a bit about that, where you can find out more information. She has a whole course dedicated to teaching this. By the way, she just makes well over six figures when in her own VA work, which is just ludicrously impressive, in my opinion. I mean, she's crazy good. But we also talk about hiring a virtual assistant. This is something I am particularly interested in myself as I try and figure out ways to leverage out my biggest asset, all of our biggest asset, time, right? So I am trying to hire a VA right now and have been trying to find a good one for an affordable price who just really, really works well, meshes with me, etc. And I know a bunch of you, if not specifically looking to hire a VA, you would love to hand off some of the work that you don't want to do or are not good at to someone who could do it efficient and maybe even better, et cetera, et cetera. So we talk a lot about both of those. Kayla's amazing. I know you're going to enjoy that. Before I bring her on, a few things. You can find today's post, actually, I should just say blog post. It's pretty much a whole blog post. Over at doyouevenblog.com/podcast/Kayla. K-A-Y-L-A, doyouevenblog.com/podcast/Kayla. You can find the links mentioned in today's show, the summaries, pretty much a whole blog post there for you guys to go check out. Okay, so coming up 1 week from today, if you're listening to this the day it launches, that would be, the day I'm talking about is April 4, 2018. I am launching another massive blogging giveaway. I just wanted to tease it. Nothing else to do right now. I just wanted to tease it. It's coming. It's going to be cool. I've reached out to a bunch of people trying to get you some awesome blogging tools and products, online courses, et cetera, et cetera. You know the deal. Lots of great stuff for bloggers in that. April 4, that'll launch. And that's pretty much it. Oh, actually, an apology. Okay, here we go. I screwed up the audio on the interview you were about to listen to. It was not Kayla's fault. In fact, Kayla sounds fine. I don't sound fine. And it's because I don't even know if I had my mic connected. I'm pretty sure I'm using my built-in MacBook Pro microphone. I don't know. It sounds bad. I just wanted to apologize. That's all. Just lowering expectations up front here, people. Thank you for listening as always. And I will see you after this long form interview at the end of this podcast with some additional takeaways and summaries, some thoughts that I took away. So be sure to skip forward to that if you were short on time. And without further ado, please welcome to the show, Kayla Sloan.
Thanks so much for having me, Pete. I'm excited to be here.
Kayla Sloan, I want to start off with this. The first week of self-employment, a few years back, once you quit your full-time job, I read that you pretty much cried every day for the first couple of weeks. Is that true?
Oh, yes. I went through like this huge emotional roller coaster of like being so excited, but at the same time, I was completely terrified that I had just quit my job.
What was... There's probably lots of things that terrified you. I understand, by the way, I've been through this. But what were like the big over, you know, anxiety producing factors for the first couple of weeks there? Like what was the most scary?
Yeah, I think for me, it was really financial instability because at that point, I still had $148,000 of debt and my emergency fund.
Hang on. Whoa. Does that include a mortgage?
It does. Okay. Outside of my mortgage, I had about $28,000 in the form of a car loan, a student loan, and I still had some consumer debt at that time.
Okay.
So, looking at about $28,000 non-mortgage debt. And my emergency fund was like just barely over $2,000. So.
Well, I got to ask then, like, how did the fear go away? Like, was there any specific moment? A couple of weeks in, or did you start making more and more money? And like, how did you deal with that? Or how did it go away?
Yeah, I don't really recommend this to people because it was so scary. And like,
sorry,
no one's going to tell you to take that kind of risk. Like people, like it was crazy. I can't even believe I did it now. Like looking back, would I do it again? I would like to say I did because I've made a ton of progress since then, but probably not. but anyway, I just kind of was like, well, I've already quit. I can't go back. So I am just going to work my butt off and get out there and hustle up some new work and make it work for me.
Yeah. Okay. I wasn't planning on spending this long on this particular question, but I like the sentences you're saying. And so I do want to explore a little bit more. So you buckled down, you were hustled. What, maybe start 3-6 months a year before that. Mm-hmm. What was your full-time job, first of all?
I worked as a credit analyst for an agricultural lending firm. So I live in a very big farming community and we made loans to farmers.
Okay. Credit analyst. Mm-hmm. So how did you even want to go out on your own? Like discovered blogging or discovered contract work, freelance, VA type of stuff? Like what was the spark that eventually led to you quitting?
I started my blog really as just a creative outlet. Like I didn't even know people made money online and I wasn't feeling fulfilled at my job. And so I started for fun as just a hobby. And after reading Michelle's For Making Sense of Sense, her online income report was just, at the time it was much smaller than it is now, but it was very inspiring to me. And I thought, okay, if she can figure out how to make money online, then I'm going to figure out how to do this too.
Okay.
So I started freelance writing a few months after I started my blog in July 2014 is when I started freelance writing and virtual assistant work. And then I didn't really consider it a business and I didn't really think it would be something that would replace my day job. A few months in, I was talking with Kat Alford and she really changed my mindset and got me thinking like, yes, this is a business and it has the potential to be something that my day job can never be for me. This could help me earn more income. It could provide more flexibility and really be something I never expected.
Hmm. You said this was roughly 2015?
I started part-time in July 2014 and then I quit my job in 2015.
Okay. So how did you kind of discover this? You meet Kat. Is that with a K, by the way?
It's with a C.
It's with a C. Okay. And you're kind of convinced this could be a thing. It might be a thing, possibly be a thing. Like why, what made you like take the jump? Like, did you make any income before you quit your job?
Yeah. So my first month freelancing in July, 2014, I made $285.
Okay.
And by the time that I quit my job in July 2015, so exactly 12 months later, I was earning a little over $2,000 per month freelancing, which was the same that I was earning at my day job.
That's respectable. Yeah. Okay. Well, at least you had some sort of income when you jumped the full-time boat.
Yes.
not like my story. Oh, that's another day.
Everybody has their story, right?
I know. Okay. So you get a little bit of money coming in. You quit your job. The first couple of weeks were emotional at best. Yes. We could just say that. So the question I really wanted to get to from hearing the last, 6 months to a year before you quit was, what did that hustle look like? So you had a little bit of contract work before that. What did you do? Like in the first month, let's say, after quitting your job, a little stressful. What did you really do to like, oh, I got to hustle, I got to ramp this up, I got to get more clients, or I got to make more money just to like survive even? What did you do?
The first thing I did was approach my current clients and say, hey, I just quit my job and I'm available for more work. And I really just think taking that initiative to ask is something that can put you a step ahead. You know, you're already working with these people. They already trust you. They already know that you're a good, hard worker. You know, they know that your work quality is good. So that's going to be an easy way to get more work from people you already know.
Hmm. Wow. That's a great answer. I'm like taking notes, by the way. I don't know if you saw this. I don't know if you're on Rosemary Groner's blogging segmented email list. But she sent out an email. I hope she didn't mind me sharing this. No, I'm sure it's fine. She sent out an email, I'm assuming to most of her blogging friends that are already on her blogging email list, basically just asking for backlinks, but in a very nice way and in a very, mutual give-get sort of way. She wasn't just like straight up spamming people. She never does that. I've never seen her do that. And it was the most incredibly original idea I'd seen in a long time. She was just like, hey, I have this very specific thing that I need and I want help with. All I'm asking is for this. It'll take you like 5 or 6 minutes. It'll really help me out. And if there's anything I can do for you, etc. And it's sort of the same thing. No one else I can think of would ever remember to ask things like that. Just totally honest, totally upfront. Mm-hmm. It's like the low hanging fruit. Same thing with your clients, like going to them and asking, hey, who else do you know? Here's my story. I just quit my job. I'm looking for more clients, etc. Oh, that's good. I think there's a book about this too, but I don't remember the name at the moment.
I'm sure this is not a new method. I mean, it's something that people forget about though. I mean, even though it is super simple and it's really, like you said, the easy way to go about it, but I think people just overlook it sometimes.
That's pretty crazy. Okay, so fast forward a little bit and we'll kind of cover in between. So last year you published an income report. I think last month you made gross about a little bit over $130,000 last month, which is amazing, by the way. Congratulations. So what did that growth curve look like? Was it like 6 months in and then you got some more clients, or did it take you a long time to ramp up to that?
So in between when I started and quit my job, I grew to about $2,000. And then after quitting my job, getting that 40 hours a week back to put toward my business made a huge difference. Mm-hmm. And so within, let's see, I think it was about 3 months after I quit my job, I had almost doubled my client work. And so I had almost doubled my income. And so I was earning between $4,000 and $5,000 per month at that point.
Were most of those new clients from those initial referrals?
Yes, I stopped pitching entirely, and I haven't actually pitched anyone in 2.5 years. I get all of my work from referrals. Yeah.
Oh, man. That's another huge lesson. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're good. And so, then it took me about another year to really hit that elusive $10,000 per month mark that I was really shooting for. Mm-hmm. And then last year in 2017, as you said, I earned a little over $135,000 for the year. So,
okay, which direction do I want to go here? I was going to say this kind of toward the end of the episode, and maybe we can come back to it. But I do want to go ahead and pivot to your course, maybe, because you do teach other people how to do this. I looked through the curriculum specifically. And full disclosure, if I have links in here, I'm sure I'll include my affiliate link. 10kva, all spelled out, T-E-N-K, the letter K, va.com. That one threw me for a loop. I was like, what's Tenkva when I first saw it? 10kva.com. What all do you teach in this course? Is it just pitching clients and how to become a VA, how to get better organized? Like, give me the pitch. This is going to be fun. Okay. Pretend I'd never heard of it before. And you met me, and I'm working full-time, but I have a blog part-time that I've been doing for less than a year. My name is Pete. What is your pitch for 10KVA?
really, I created the course as a resource because I've seen what's possible with this business. You know, it's helped me quit my job. I've seen coaching students of mine been able to have their husbands come home from work. And in one particular case, she was able to bring her husband home from work. He is now homeschooling their 2-year-old daughter and is a stay-at-home dad. And she is the sole bread earner for their family. It's amazing what kind of work opportunities are available. And I think this is really just a good way to teach people what's out there and get them started because there is money to be made.
You're going to get like a bunch of emails from all my male listeners, my married male listeners right now that are like, here's my wife's email address. You should chat her up. Including me, by the way. That's awesome. So is it video based? I'm curious now.
Currently the content is written. Video will be coming out this year here in 2018. Okay. And so what I offer to my course students is an opportunity to learn what a virtual assistant is and what a virtual assistant is not, because there is definitely, you know, some stigmas around that sometimes. And then we go through everything from the very beginning. So we teach you how to find your first client, how to pitch them, how much to charge, because mm-hmm. everybody wants to make money and they, you know, want to know how to set their rates and get paid, right?
Oh my God, yeah.
So that's everybody's favorite part of the course, I'm sure. And then we do take you through some of those more advanced steps too, of if you do want to take this full time and do this as a very profitable business, earning, you know, thousands of dollars per month, it is possible. And we teach you how to ramp that up through productivity tips and potentially even growing your virtual assistant business into a small agency.
Mm. And that's what you have now, right? You've scaled up a little bit. Is that right?
I do have some team members now that take on some of the work in my business, and it's been amazing. This is something I never thought I would be. I never thought I would be
a manager.
Able to help other people have employment opportunities. It's an amazing feeling.
Okay. Hold that thought. We're going to come back to that in just a few minutes because I want to talk more about that. But staying on 10KVA, you don't have to spoil all of the content, but straight up, if there's anybody out there listening who honestly just maybe needs a bit of cash and they're organized, they're good. I was going to say servants. That's like the wrong word. They wouldn't mind being a VA and working for other people. I guess we'll just put it that way. I want to go back to what a VA is and what a VA is not. Could you share that? How could people tell, like, is this for me or is this not for me?
Yeah, I really think you hit the nail on the head there. Even though you decided to change your word choice a little bit, I call it the service-oriented mindset.
Mm.
So approaching things with a service-oriented mindset means you like helping people. You are good at organization and keeping people on track, and you don't mind kind of working behind the scenes a little bit. So as a virtual assistant, you may not be front and center. Mm. You know, your clients are going to be the ones that are getting the, you know, the credit for these amazing things. And that's okay with some people. And if that's okay with you, then this might be a good fit. But if you want to be in the spotlight, it's not necessarily the best way to go about it.
I feel like you're talking just to me now, Kayla.
Well, Pete, that might be a conversation for later.
Actually, I'm not joking. I mean, I suck at that personally. I really am. I love helping people, but I don't like working for other people. I don't know. I've said that a few times on the podcast already. So everybody probably knows that I'm a little bit rebellious and, you know, so forth. But that's a good point. I do think that it's worth considering for anybody anyone getting into really just any service role, but especially like close-knit virtual assistants where you're probably working like one-on-one with someone telling you what to do and assigning you tasks and stuff like that. I think it's something a bunch of people could say, hey, Kayla Sloan makes like $10,000 a month. That's completely amazing. And she did it in a couple of years. I want to do that too, before they take the time to reflect on their own personality and their own needs, et cetera, and say like, maybe this is not the career for me.
Right. Yeah. You know, let's think about it this way, Pete. At FinCon, the conference that we both attend for financial bloggers, let's look at these Plutus Award winners. I mean, they're not virtual assistants. It's the people who are the face of the brand that are winning these awards, mm-hmm. but you know they have an amazing supportive team behind them.
Hmm. Didn't you? Okay. Do you reveal your clients, by the way? I know who some of them are, obviously, but do you talk about that openly? If not, that's totally cool. I'll just say this. No, you know what? You don't have to answer that. I'll just say that a number of your clients are crushing it, I guess we could say, or doing very, very well, at least, it appears. So I take that as a huge compliment to you, by the way. So good job.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yes, I have some amazing clients. I feel like I've been so blessed because building my business with their referrals has really worked out amazingly well. It means that I work with clients who respect me, clients who I look up to, and that is the best feeling.
I really, 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 really like what you said about referrals, like in the past 10, 20 minutes. I think it's huge. Another thing, I've said this before too, but I'll just reiterate this. I'm not the world's best podcaster. I'm not the world's best like outreach specialist. But I did figure out from day one, kind of on accident, I figured out that the way to get podcast guest on my own show was through referrals, like just me cold pitching people. There's like, who are you? Delete, just spam. Like, what is it? Who is this dude? Who is this like small podcaster? Delete. But the second you throw somebody else's name in there, and by the way, to anybody out there listening, make sure you have full permission and you talk to them, whoever your referring person is. Don't just name drop for, you know, randomly. But I found that just a huge advantage to booking podcast guests. Like when I got Michelle Schroeder, I asked her, hey, you know, who else should I contact? Who else should I interview? Can I use your name as a referral? She's like, yeah, of course, sure, go ahead. And so I used that to get another person and then that person to get another person. And just the whole name dropping and referral thing, as long as it's done like authentically and honestly, of course, I think it's just huge. It's just huge in all sports alike.
It really is. And I think that's really how it works with everything in business and in life, because I'm here because we met through Monica.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, that's a good point. Okay. So this is somewhat related. You have scaled up. You mentioned bringing on a small team, or at least contractors or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And also, I wrote this question down. From looking at your income summary from 2017, you had mentioned, or no, actually it's just from the month of December, you shared your expenses, the largest of which was like contract services.
Yes.
I'm super curious about how to leverage out our time as bloggers. I don't think anybody who's making the least bit of money, like let's say over $2,000-$4,000 a month from their blog, really wants to keep doing all of the administrative tasks. It could be email. It could be graphic design. It could be the actual writing. I don't know. But just no one wants to do everything. There's always parts of online business and blogging and everything in life, really, that we don't want to do and that we probably could outsource. So I would love to find a good answer through all my interviews, not just you, to when a blogger should start picking up a single virtual assistant or you know hire their first team member. Like at what income level, at what stage of growth, at what stage of experience, et cetera, et cetera. And then how to manage them. How much should you pay somebody? What kind of task can you outsource? Like, I love this idea because I think leverage is, you know, key to growth. So that's what I really want to get at through this conversation. But let's go back. Like, what are the contract services that you spent money on in December? Like, what does that look like specifically?
That's a really good question. And I feel like I have a pretty unique perspective since I am a virtual assistant, but I also hire a virtual assistant for my team. So I have kind of that unique perspective of doing it on both sides, if that makes any sense.
Oh, so yeah. That's why I wanted to chat with you.
it is. It's kind of fun. People are like, wait, you are a virtual assistant, but you have an assistant? I'm really confused.
Why don't you just do your own virtual assistant?
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm like, man, if I had enough time to do that. No. So anyway, most of my expenses are spent on contract services. So I have a small team of people that are specialized in what they do. I have an assistant who specializes in social media, and she handles all of my social media scheduling tasks. She interacts with people. So if people are commenting on my Facebook posts or in my Facebook group, you know, she's interacting with them and building that relationship with readers and basically taking care of all of those things so that I don't have all of those annoying Facebook notifications all day long. And then I also work with someone for technical assistance because that is not my forte. Like, I don't know how to do any of that. I just want it to work. So if something stops working, I just send out an email like, can you please fix this? And then finally in December, it was kind of a unique month because of the course launch. I did pay for some extra contract services for design, for copywriting on my sales page, and some additional assistance just finalizing the content for the course.
Okay. You don't have to share exactly how much you're paying each person for each given task, but I do kind of want to get a ballpark. Can you give us a ballpark of, let's just say VA, someone would like to outsource, let's just, actually not even one specific task. Let's just say like a very general VA to kind of help with managing day-to-day administrative stuff. Or actually, I guess the better question would be, what sort of task or activities should someone start with at a very low level? We're not talking like paying someone $2,000 a month. We're talking about paying someone like $200 to $500 a month for just like a few hours a week. Like, what kind of stuff should they look to outsource first?
When I'm looking to outsource, the first things I want to outsource are things I don't like to do or things I don't know how to do. And I do try to know how to do most things in my business myself, I will say, because if for some reason my assistant, you know, stops working with me for whatever reason and I need to take that over myself, I kind of need to know how to do it. So about the only thing I outsource that I don't know how to do is those technical tasks, just because I don't understand any of that. But other than that, I do like to know how to do things. So I mostly start with things that seem time consuming. Or that I don't like to do. You know, those small, lower level tasks, yes, they're very important. And consistency is important for things like social media. But, you know, my brain power can be better spent looking at the bigger picture of what direction the business is going in as a business owner. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely.
As far as paying someone, I would say, you know, it really depends on if you're looking for someone with experience or if you're looking to start with someone new. And if you have a low budget, starting with a virtual assistant who is smart and is a quick learner but doesn't have the most experience in the world is probably going to work out for the best, because you'll be able to train them to do things exactly how you want them done. And you'll also be able to pay a little bit less than you would need to if they had more experience.
Okay, where do we find those people?
Well, now that you mention it, Pete, one of the biggest perks of my 10K VA program is actually a great service that I call the Client Connection Service.
Okay.
So if you're a business owner looking for a virtual assistant, I have a whole bunch of course students that are also looking for a client. So my course students benefit from my referrals. And the business owners benefit because they get connected with a great virtual assistant who's ready to go.
Okay. Do you have to purchase the course in order to get access to that?
If you're hiring a virtual assistant, you do not. I publish it in a private Facebook group.
Oh my goodness.
But if you're a virtual assistant who wants to find a client, you do have to be a course student.
Okay. Where can we find that? Is the so the Facebook group is open to anyone? Is that correct?
No, it is a closed group. But if you're wanting to hire a virtual assistant, you can definitely reach out to me on social media or by email, and I will get your job listing posted.
That's awesome. That's super cool. And what was it called again?
I call it my Client Connection Service.
So what would be, I know you've kind of already covered this a little bit, but let's say you did find somebody who is relatively new, but seems to have a good personality fit and or resume, or they seem organized or whatnot. And you want to get them for roughly, let's just say definitely under $1,000. I would say even under 500, like let's say $250 a month. On average, like what would those hours look like? And would they be like 24 hours on call, or like, I don't know how any of this works, but would you set an hourly wage, a weekly rate? Like how would you structure that? If you were doing it personally, that is.
There's a lot of different ways that it can be done, and it really depends who you work with. So a lot of beginner VAs will charge by the hour. And I actually recommend that to brand new VAs just because until you've done the test, you don't know how long it's going to take. So you can't really price it in a package or you might end up way undercharging for how long it takes. So with a new VA, you're probably going to be paying hourly. And as far as rate goes, it seems like the very bottom end of things, if you hire someone US-based, is probably going to be around $15.
Okay.
Someone with more experience is obviously going to cost more, and really experienced and knowledgeable VAs can charge up to $60 an hour or more, depending on what the tasks are and how in depth they're going to be working on your business.
So, I apologize. You may or may not be biased. I don't know. You'll have to tell me. But is outsourcing to the Philippines or India, is that sort of a thing these days? Like, I feel like 10 years ago, it was the Tim Ferriss's and the Pat Flynn's coming online and saying, like, hey, you know, I pay this guy $400 a month. He works for me full time, and he's an amazing WordPress guru. Like, is this still like a big thing, or would you recommend people stay within their own country?
I know some people who outsource to other countries. And yes, the rate is so much lower. But as a business owner, I personally prefer to work with someone here in the U.S. for a few reasons. First of all, it does cost more. And that's not something I love about it. But I know that I'm supporting someone's family. I build a personal connection with my virtual assistant. You know, we're good friends in real life. And I trust her with my business. And I know that she respects it and treats it as if it was her own. And you also don't have to worry as much about like language barrier or odd work hours. So people overseas, you know, they're going to be working in the middle of the night, which may not be ideal if you need to have a collaborative environment.
That's absolutely right. Yeah, I had some frustrations with actually one of the listeners to the show. I won't say her name. She was actually fantastic. I worked with her for maybe a month, and I paid her, you know, a little bit more than what she had quoted to me, and she did a good job, but again, it was overseas. And for me, just, I don't know, I'm bad at time zones anyways, and I tend to be, for better or worse, I tend to be a very driven, oh, bam, let's do this. Let's do it as quickly as humanly possible. Let's ship. Like, I tend to be that sort of guy. So it just wasn't working out as much as I'd wanted. And you, Jeff Proctor from BreakingThe1%.com, and who else was it? One more person that I've interviewed recently, even, they were saying, oh, well, it's my friend Bobby in Texas. You're the third person to say, like, no, we prefer to keep it not only in this country, but nearby. Like, Jeff and Ben, their virtual assistant is still virtual, but literally in the same town. So they can meet up once a week or once a month or however often they need to at a coffee shop and literally just like work, get work done, communicate that way. Bobby, same thing. There was somebody who literally went to high school with him in Texas, still over there. And it just makes communication easier. It makes people closer, I guess, for lack of a better term. I don't know. I'm glad to hear you affirm that though. So
yeah, all of my clients are spread across the US, but my team personally, like the people that I hire as contractors, are all pretty well located within just a few hours drive.
Interesting.
I think the furthest one is about 5 hours from here, so it's not too bad.
Well, yeah, that's huge. It just is. I stink at time zones. Okay, Kayla, let's switch gears a little bit, but I'm still selfishly sticking to your income report, only because I found a bunch of very interesting things on there. So you are, speaking of Monica, you are spending money on Facebook ads, or at least you did in December. And I saw you had roughly $600 spent. Can I ask what you were spending it on? What was the strategy? What was the end goal?
Yes, I typically run Facebook ads with the strategy to get more cheap traffic. Most of my ads are at 3 or 4 cents, some even 2 cents and 1 cent per click, which is crazy cheap way to get traffic that you know is going to be interested in what you have to say about a particular topic.
Your Facebook campaigns are literally just driven towards blog post clicks, obviously.
Yes. And then once they're on there, I have it optimized so that, you know, ideally they're clicking either an affiliate link or they're signing up for the email list. And okay. I try to eliminate most of the distractions on those particular posts that are being, you know, paid traffic.
Sure. Yeah, I know Deacon Hayes said the same thing. And actually, I mean, I know he works with Monica as well, but it was actually on Nick Loper's podcast where he went into detail about some posts. He even removed the sidebar completely and he took away all display ads. Like that was like the first thing to go, like removed all the display ads to really point people and focus people towards the end goal, getting on the email list or affiliate revenues or whatever he was after. So, okay, that's cool. How long have you been doing that, by the way, running Facebook ads?
I started running Facebook ads in June 2017.
Okay. Okay. Interesting. I'm always curious. I'm always curious because I feel like traffic is what people are after, obviously, for better or worse. Sometimes. Right. Traffic what bloggers are after, and 2-3 cents per click, that's like really great. That's
great. It's super cheap. Yep. Super cheap traffic.
Actually, I'm just going to ask you this. So how much did it cost to get to that point, and roughly how long did it take?
It didn't really take me too long to get to that point simply because I worked with an expert in Facebook ads. I did work with Monica Louis on private coaching last year. My mm-hmm. first campaign that we ran together really didn't do that well, but we learned a lot about who my target audience is and who my target audience is not. And after running that campaign, I have consistently been getting traffic at the 2 and 3 cent mark ever since.
That's cool. That's awesome. Okay. I am going to bring this up. We've talked about this off air a little bit. So FreshBooks PayPal, could you tell the story of why I am even bringing this up? Or like, what's the deal here? What are we talking about?
Okay. Yes, we did talk about this already a little bit. FreshBooks is the system I use for my business accounting as well as invoicing my freelance clients. And the big reason that I chose to use FreshBooks is because it saves me literally hundreds of dollars per month in PayPal fees.
Ding, ding, with, ding.
Yes, with FreshBooks Classic, you get 50 cent flat rate PayPal fees on all payments from U.S. clients that pay through FreshBooks.
So I wanted to talk about this because I have no doubt in my mind a lot of the people here not only use PayPal, but also just invoice other people. Maybe not everybody, but a lot of people. If you do any freelance work or client work, you're generally sending out invoices. PayPal, FreshBooks. I even used Gumroad for a while because I was mm-hmm. having trouble with PayPal. I was like creating services on Gumroad and like sending people links. It was awkward. just credit card payment processing fees are just ludicrous. They're ludicrous, especially when you're charging people a couple hundred bucks, several thousand dollars per month. Like it's just mm-hmm. eating away. So feel free to be spammy with that affiliate link, but just like, how can people take advantage of this for themselves?
You know, I have to say, PayPal fees and credit card fees seriously make me mad. Like they are the thing that makes my blood boil because it's like, why do I have to pay a fee in order to get paid for the work that I do?
Mm-hmm.
And it just really ticks me off. But that's what I love about FreshBooks Classic. But you have to be careful because the new version of FreshBooks has moved away from 50 cent PayPal fees. So I specifically, as an affiliate, reached out to them and my affiliate links. So anyone who signs up through my link goes to FreshBooks Classic because I am that passionate about that 50 cent PayPal mm-hmm. fee issue.
I'm like literally reminding, I've set a reminder for myself to sign up using your affiliate link.
I appreciate it. And of course, you know, the income doesn't hurt, but really truthfully, it's even if they didn't pay me, I would talk about FreshBooks Classic because
right. yep.
I love it that much.
Yeah. And I could care less about the affiliate links. I want that 50 cent processing. Like, oh my God.
Yes.
I can't even
exactly.
describe.
It'll save you so much money.
It's insane. It's insane.
Yes.
Okay. That's a good tip. I'm glad I remembered to look at that this morning because I was like, wait, didn't Kayla say something about this a week or two ago? So yeah. That's great. FreshBooks, PayPal, Where can they find that, by the way? Like, is there a specific resources page on your website where they can find that link?
Yes, I do have a resources page in my top menu bar, which is at kaylasloan.com, and then I think it's /resources.
That is worth the, what does FreshBooks start at, like $15 a month? That's worth the $15 a month right now.
Definitely. Yeah. I was so cheap. I have to tell you, I was so cheap when I very first started out. Like, I bootstrapped my business. And then as soon as I realized that I was actually wasting money by not using FreshBooks because of those PayPal fees, yeah, I was signed up and I have not looked back.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Yeah. I'm doing it. I'm doing it right now. I'm pulling the trigger. Actually, not right now. In 10 minutes. So we are winding down. I don't want to take up too much of your time. Is it okay if I ask you two or three of the blog round questions?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay. What are two lesser known bloggers that you think everyone should read? This doesn't have to be in online business or even personal finance or digital marketing or all, but what are two blogs that you think everyone should read?
One of my absolute favorites, I don't know if she's really small, but I think in maybe our community, she's not really known. My favorite blog that I very first started reading was aslobcomesclean.com. I know that sounds crazy. She blogs about decluttering and minimalism and organization. And I really think it's very interestingly connected to personal finance.
That's okay. You did say a slob, right? Did I say that?
Yes.
A slob comes clean. Okay.
Yes.
What was the other one?
Or if you don't, she's also one, very, fine, very humorous. So I would say the other one is The Entrepremomer. And I have to bring her up because Kim is my amazing assistant, and she has been working her tail off to build her tribe of moms who are wanting to be entrepreneurs. And I think she has a great message to share.
Hmm. I love that domain name, but it does make it a little challenging to spell. I was trying to
think. Yes.
Entrepremomer. Okay.
Yep.
Got it. Okay. What's something that you wish other bloggers would stop doing right now?
Oh, gosh, Pete, you're putting me on the spot.
I know.
I would say, can we shut off some of those annoying pop-ups?
Okay.
Really?
So you're not the first person to say that, obviously. And people listen to this, they already know my take on pop-ups. I don't have any of them on my site. But what makes a pop-up okay? Does that make any sense? I've never asked anybody this on the podcast before, but if you had a pop up, what might actually prompt you to throw that email address in there, or at least not be like crazy offended like I am whenever I see them? Does that make any sense?
I have to admit, I do have a pop up on mine, and what I like or don't mind, I guess I should say, is I don't mind a pop up if it's one time, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not going to pop up on me three times when I'm reading different pages on your site on the same day. Okay. That is ridiculous.
Oh, and like before I've even had a chance to like look at anything on the page, like straight immediate pop-ups. Oh my gosh. I almost always just close out of the website. Always.
I know. I'm with you.
I alt-tabbed to your site right now in incognito mode, and I haven't been hit with it yet. I've been like scrolling and I just clicked and I haven't been hit with it yet. So I guess that's a good thing.
Good. I'm glad to hear that's still working how it's supposed to be.
I'm still scrolling. I moved my mouse towards the X and still nothing. Okay, I'm sorry. Back on topic. Okay, one more question. Mm-hmm. Only because we got a little heated talking about credit card fees. Besides PayPal fees, what's something else that you're super fired up about right now? Preferably in a positive way, and you know, not just like, oh, those other fees that are getting me, but what are you like super passionate about right now?
Oh my gosh, you really are putting me on the spot. I would say encouraging people to change their lives, because I know that sounds all cliche, okay? But truthfully, I feel like I'm at this place now where I never ever imagined I would be. And I've had the opportunity lately to go and speak to different groups of youth in high school age students and things like that. And it has just been so I can't even say the words are not coming out here, Pete, but it's been amazing because I feel like I'm able to make an impact and encourage them to think outside the box and just the work world is not what it used to be. And just because 30 years ago, you know, it was this way, or even for our parents, it was this way, that doesn't mean it has to be that way for us.
You can't see me right now, but I'm like nodding my head like, yep, preach, preach. This is also what my purpose in life is, by the way. I haven't told you this yet. And I could tell you off air, I guess, if you really wanted to hear it. But that's actually my entire mission slash purpose in life, is to change the way the world thinks about work. And I know that's very broad, and get into it on another podcast maybe. But it's funny, I didn't ask Grant Sabatier. I don't know if you know him, millennialmoney.com. I didn't ask him that question on air, but as soon as we were done podcasting, his interview comes out in like a week or two. I don't remember how we got to talk about it, but he sort of answered the same exact thing, just like for once in his life, feeling like he has like a really good and positive impact on people younger than himself that are kind of being funneled through life in high school and college, even in, you know, student loan debt, forget about it, just being funneled towards a career slash life path that was popular 50 years ago or even 30 years ago or whatnot. And I kid you not, Kayla, we talked for like 45 minutes, just like ranting with each other. And like, you know, we're all fired up about that too. So thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it.
Yeah. It's sometimes it feels cliche, or it might sound, you know, kind of out there, but it's just, it's amazing to feel like you're able to make an impact on somebody's life. And, you know, I don't want to ever sound like I'm bragging about things when I share about my business or my income, because truthfully, I just want to open up people's eyes to the possibility that there is something else out there.
That's huge. That's huge. Well, I can think of no better way to end it, for real. So Kayla, actually, where can they find you? Where can people connect with you on social? Where are you most active?
I'm most active on Facebook. I am so not good at Instagram, so don't find me on there. I have a profile, but it's not my favorite. So
I think you're actually the first person that said, come find me on Facebook. Everybody else has been Twitter. It's kind of weird. You don't like Twitter?
I am on Twitter. I don't do it very often though.
Okay. Just curious. Okay. So connect with Kayla on Facebook, Kayla Sloan, SLOAN.com, KaylaSloan.com. 10 KVA, as in TENKVA.com. I love that domain. It's just the first time I saw it, I didn't know what it was. I was like, is this a Swedish like lipstick brand? I wasn't sure. 10KVA.com. Really cool. I support you, Kayla. I appreciate you. I love your mission. I love what you're fired up about right now. And yeah, that's it. That's all I got. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the lovely conversation with the lovely Kayla Sloan. I would love to hit you digitally, not physically. I don't know why I've started saying that recently. I'd love to hit you with some takeaways. Let's just kick it off. So I'm going to break what should be one takeaway up into two, because I like to. Number one, the power of asking. More specifically, the power of initiative to ask. So again, Kayla quit her full-time job. She had just a few clients. She was really trying to ramp it up, so to speak, to, you know, quite frankly, provide for herself. One of the first things she did was go to her current clients and ask for referrals. So takeaway number two is going to be the power of referrals, but just the power of asking is so huge. And it sounds like the most dumb, obvious, simple thing to do, but no one ever does it. Like, myself included, like, we all forget about this entirely too often. Just go ask. You want something, you want XYZ, you want a raise even. Now, please don't just barge in your boss's office without doing your homework first, but just the whole power in taking initiative to ask. It's so crazy beneficial, and yet we don't do it a lot of times because we're scared, or we don't think it'll work, or fill in the blank, right? We just don't. I don't know. I just think that's a point worth remembering. You want something? Maybe the best and simplest answer on how to get it is to ask. You want more clients? Ask your current ones. I don't know. That's just a really smart thing that Kayla brought up that I loved. So transition nicely into takeaway number two, which is the power of referrals. I've said it on this podcast multiple times. Like, I'm me, Pete McPherson, no one famous at all, but I was able to land some, you know, not George Clooney's of the world, but like, you know, B-listers, C-listers, and celebrities. No, I'm joking. I was able to land some fairly large blogging interview guest on the podcast because I used referrals. Quite frankly, I name dropped. When I emailed these people, I sometimes even included in the subject line, referred by X, referred from Nick Loper or whatever, just so people kind of knew that I'm a real human being, that, you know, they can trust me a little bit because I've already interviewed this other person. Just, it's social proof in a box, referrals. And not just in blogging, but of course in business and life as well. I mean, I'm thinking of cold dates even. Like, you would not go on a blind date from a stranger. Like, a stranger comes up to you on the street, like, hey, I think you should go out with my friend Jenny. You would be like, what? No, who are you? Let alone your friend Jenny. Like, I don't know. But if your best friend came to you and be like, I've met this guy at work. His name's Charlie. I really think you might enjoy him. You would trust that a lot better. The power of referrals. So you're looking to book podcast guests. You're looking to do some guest posting for your blog. You're looking to get on some media outlets, some, you know, pitching some journalists or whatnot. See if there's any way that you can be referred. And by the way, a pro tip, something that Monica Louie and Kayla Sloan are also very good at, referring other people. So don't just be on the receiving end, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives when you can actively refer other people to them and refer people to other people. Like, it's just good business. That's how business works. Just do it. The power of referrals. Takeaway number three, super short. Go, if you're charging people for any services via PayPal or FreshBooks or whatever, well, not FreshBooks because you might already know about this, but if you were charging people something where they might get hit with credit card fees, and I'm specifically thinking of large dollar amounts, like you're charging some client a couple of $100, a couple of $1,000, whatever it is per month, one, you could do direct deposit, or two, go to KaylaSloan.com, go to her resources page, click the FreshBooks Classic affiliate link, give her the affiliate revenues, who cares, 50-cent PayPal credit card fees. That's just unbelievable and unheard of. I'm literally doing that after I hang up the microphone here in just a second. I literally am. I'm going to go sign up through her link and get me some $15 a month FreshBooks, because I will save that money way over that with all of my charging client business. So that's it. FreshBooks Classic, PayPal integration, Kayla Sloan affiliate link. Go do it. If you charge clients, go do it. It'll be worth it. It'll save you money. And yep, I think we're done. Thank you guys for listening. If you enjoyed the show, well, swerve your car over to the side of the road right now and leave me an iTunes review. No, don't actually do any of that, of course. But if you are sitting at your desktop now or later today, I would just ask that you take a second, go to Google, type in iTunes, Do You Even Blog, go to that like first link that pops up on iTunes, leave me a rating and review, man. That's all I really ask, man. I appreciate it. Don't get any wrecks actually swerving your car over. I did not want to be held liable for like the 0.0001% of you that might actually take things literally. I don't know. That seems odd. I bet there's somebody out there that does it, though, in internet. Internet's a big place. It's a big world. It's a little weird and crazy sometimes. Okay, enough rambling. Two more things you might enjoy. April 4, that's a week from today, if you're listening day of. April 4, I'm launching another blogging giveaway with some awesome products, blogging tools, blogging subscriptions, online courses that are in high demand. Really great stuff. Spent a lot of time putting that together. Coming out April 4. Just stay tuned for that, I guess. Yeah, that's all I wanted to say. And next, I'm thinking about launching another small, close-knit 30-day challenge and accountability group. If you would like to learn more about that, well, you're going to have to wait. I'll announce some more details in April as I get it more specified, a little bit more specific. But right now I'm looking at keeping people more personally accountable to their blogging goals, what they want to get done on any given day or week, looking into that. So if that sounds like something you might be interested in, to the tune of like, I think there's like $30. It's a group thing, as well as a personal one-on-one thing for me, with me, that is. Just shoot me an email, pete@doyouevenblog.com, or you can hit me up on Twitter as well, @doyouevenblog, on the Twitter sphere. And yeah, you'll see more details coming through April. So that is actually it. I've said like, oh, that's it. I think I'm done. Like three times already in the past 5 minutes. I'm so sorry. But that's how I roll, right? That's why podcasting's awesome. I just get to ramble. If you were actually reading this, you'd be like bounced already, right? You know, you click the red X already. But since I'm in your car and you hopefully enjoy listening to bloggers talk about blogging, you're still listening, I hope. Anyways, you guys have a lovely week. I cherish each and every download, each and every interaction with you guys on Twitter. I really do. I'm not just saying that crap either. I don't really want to rant anymore or ramble, but I really do appreciate it. Like, I'm not just saying that. I feel like some people might actually say that, and myself even. Like, sometimes I'll say it and not even really think about it, but right now I'm thinking about it, and I do appreciate all of you listening to this. I really do. I mean that. Anyways, text you? Oh, goodness gracious. I'll see you guys later. Enjoy the episode coming on Friday. It's going to be a fun one as well. And that's it. Happy blogging.